Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Tantianism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty, here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
Attention everyone, one.
If all radio stations in town were palm trees, we'd be the one with the biggest coconuts.
Check this out, we got a great show coming your way today.
Hey, everybody, check it out!
All I can say is wow.
Lock it on to the best station on the net. Online.
God, I love the station.
I am completely in awe of him.
I'm addicted to this.
I'm excited for him.
You got it going on, girl.
I love you.
Hello, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Joanna Wells, and with you from Moving Beyond the Matrix and freedomizerradio.com. And yeah, I was just checking something out on the episode thing, something kind of, I don't know if it was a glitch or what, but I had to go totally live on my own time for some weird reason going on. But anyways, we're here for about 3 hours. Yep, 3 hours. 3 hour show. And just letting you all know that every Sunday night, we do 3 hour shows. We had to cut it short a couple nights ago due to the time change and emergency. But now we're going all the way here. And we have a lot of things to bring up, a lot of information that is eyes wide open, basically. Yeah, it's just kind of like that movie, Eyes Wide Open, right? A lot of information to share that's going to really blow your freaking mind, okay? And we understand what is going on. And so I wanted to talk about what's happening in these parties going on in Hollywood. I've been hearing it from a lot of people, that, you know, celebrities, not only just celebrities in Hollywood, like, you know, your movie celebrities or sitcom celebrities, but we're also talking about YouTube celebrities. Even YouTube celebrities are becoming prey for these kinds of parties that like to blackmail you. And it's very, very insane what's going on. People are reporting this left and right. There was a guy not too long ago on YouTube or watching who fell for this. He said he was 19 years old and he flew from Colorado to Hollywood because, you know, he was being scouted the whole time for a while. Him and his friend were being scouted, and out of the blue, they went to Hollywood. Something happened. They met somebody and there was the invitation. I think the invitation was before they went to Hollywood. I think that's what happened. Basically like, hey, you know what? I like what you do. You're pretty awesome. I like your email, you know, and I like your phone number. So there was, you know, the guy ended up giving him his phone number and email. That was it. And this guy was 19 at the time. He was a YouTube creator. And then out of the blue, I guess he ended up flying over to Hollywood and ended up moving there because he really wanted to be a star. He really wanted to push what he was doing, and he thought that by being there, that was the way to go. And so finally what happened, he was approached by somebody, that person that I mentioned, it could have been in Colorado or in Hollywood, but he was approached basically saying, yes, come to this party. We want you to come to this party. It's very important that you do. You know, I think you'd really like it, blah, blah, blah. They sent him an email about this to go to the party. And then shortly after, he receives a letter in the mail, and it was an invitation. It was an elegantly put invitation. And he's like, wait a second, I never gave anyone my address. How the hell do they know where I live? So he, you know, as a kid, he just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go along with the details. I'm just going to go along with the program, I mean. And so I guess he went to a lobby, and I guess some lobby that they were all hanging out, and one guy approached him and said, look, I need to talk to you. You know, come to me upstairs of the hotel. I need to talk to you in my room. So he brought him upstairs in his room, and then this guy says, and he looked like he was about to cry and said, you know what, hey, it's not a good idea that you go to this party. Please, whatever you do, do not go to this party. And he looked like he was about to cry. Pretty much begging this guy, don't go, or there's going to be some serious consequences. And so him being 19, you know, YouTube creator, this guy, he's like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'm just going to blow this off. He's just trying to scare me or whatever. And the guy friend that he went with, I would say his name's David. He went along with him as well, they're both YouTube creators. And he was like, oh, no, let's go. Let's just go. You know, let's go to the party. We're not going to blow this for anything. This is the time for us to be successful. And, you know, they didn't have much money or any of that. So what happened was they ended up going to the party, and they said it was a beautiful, elaborate house. It was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it was like obviously a multi-million dollar house. And people that were there, they were all in cocktail dresses and, you know, or tuxedos and all of that. Like, they were looking really high-end and flashy. Very, very richy. And then they wore masks and like a masquerade they were going to. And he said that at first he thought, well, this is pretty nice. This is pretty cool. Look at these people. You know, they're having a good time and blah, blah, blah. And he said, and basically he said that they had to go from room to room to room. The first room was like a room where they were playing, they were doing some kind of, you know, games. Fun games that they were doing. And he thought, oh, this is really cool. How fun. Look, everyone's gathering around and playing these fun games together. And then all of a sudden the clock would chime. You know, I think they would only be given so many minutes in this room. And so the clock would chime, ding, and then boom, they had to go into another room. And in the other room, it was the blue room. And in this blue room, you know, people got a little different. They were a little different. They weren't like, you know, in a different, I mean, they were completely different. They were very touchy and feely in this blue room. And flirty, he said, that people would, that you would be sitting next to, they would start getting flirty with each other. And he was on the other side of the everything. He didn't want to be a part of it. He just stood there watching. And he's like, you know what, I'm just going to wait until the clock chimes so we can go to the next room because this is feeling uncomfortable. And he wouldn't drink. He wouldn't smoke. He didn't partake in any of that because he just felt really weird. He's like, how is it that from one room, everybody's, you know, very active. Everyone acts pretty normal. And then this room, they're acting really weird. So then all of a sudden the clock chimes again and boom, they go to another room. And this room was the orange room. And I mean, he goes on and on. I mean, very, very interesting. And one of the rooms, I don't remember exactly, but he went through a few rooms, and one room, it had a lot of food. I think the orange room had a lot of food. They had so much food. It was like so abundant, beautiful tables that just had all the food that you could ever want. And he's like, oh, this is, I'm liking this. I want to eat, you know, this is pretty good. Look at all this delicious food. So he sits down, he's eating, he starts eating his food, and all of a sudden the people around them start eating, but they eat like pigs. Like they're grabbing the food with their hands and scarfing it down like as fast as they could. And then some food that didn't taste that good, they spit it on the floor, like really disgusting. And he saw that and he's like, oh my God, that's pretty repulsive. You know, he was like, I don't know. This kind of turns me off right now, what I just saw. And these people are just acting really, really weird. And so finally the clock chimes again and they end up in a yellow room. And this yellow room, it looked like it had a Russian, it had a, what do you call it? Those gambling tables, the roulette. They had that. And they were just all, you know, doing, I don't know. I don't remember too much, but it was like, Every room had a theme. And so the other room, he ended up, I don't know if it was that room or another room after that, but in this particular room, this, when people just started like coming out of their shell, they started looking at each other and talking bad to each other, like, hey, you know what? Like everything that, like, that they thought about their friend that they didn't like, they just told them off right there. And you kept hearing these people, you know, with their partner friends, just telling each other off. Like everybody had to just come out of the shadow and just let it out, right? And he's just watching the whole thing like, what the heck? Now, first of all, everyone's all festive and having a good time and, you know, and being a little flirty and all of that. And now all of a sudden, now they're telling each other off, like, and saying some horrific things to each other. And then the bell chimes again, and then they end up going into the red room. And in this red room, this is when things got really, really weird. And they started lining up in a single file line, or two lines. And there were these religious books in the front of the room. Like they had the Quran, they had the Bible, they had all, you know, all types of sacred texts that had to identify with a religion. And they basically, the person coordinating it there in that room was saying, okay, anybody who fits this category. And then if somebody says, yes, I'm Christian, or I was baptized Christian, whatever, then they would take a metal thing and put it on top of the book and say, you are going to renounce this religion. You're going to renounce it. And you're going to say that you are God, that you are no longer going to follow this religion anymore, you know. So getting people to renounce the religion that they grew up with or they believed in, that was the first thing they had to do. So when he saw that happening, he's like, you know what, now this is getting really weird because this is involving your personal religion or religious belief. And he just basically said, look, and he told the guy, it was an agent, I guess the agent that brought him in the first place. And he said, look, I'm not liking this. I really like to go home now. I really don't want to be a part of this anymore. And so the whole room ended up shouting something. What was it then? debt not paid. Like, get rid of the profane. Get rid of the profane. You know, they all shouted in a group, get rid of the profane. Get rid of the profane. Debt is not paid. The whole crowd just started saying that because he wanted out of there. And his friend, David, I didn't really mention him much. David was having a good time the whole time. He was just like, yeah, don't worry. Look, I'm having a good time. Everything's fine. And he had girls flirting with him. He was loving it, right? And he goes, you know what? Hey, you know, he told his friend, don't worry about it. I'm going to go to the front of the line and watch me go first. And then I'll tell you what it's all about. It's all good. Watch. I'm going to do it and you can do it too. So he went in the front of the line and he just went on to the next room. Okay, so the first thing was he realized everybody had to renounce their religions before they go into the next room. So by that time, he had already was escorted out of the house to leave. And then he realized the guy that, you know, that was really uncomfortable with this whole party, he's like, you know what, I need my phone. I need to go back to get my phone. And something happened where before he went to go get his phone, he went into the other room where they were, the next room over, you know, from the red room into this other room. And this room was like another red room. And he saw through the window that these people were doing some heinous acts. And he saw his own friend in the room doing heinous acts. He said it was the most heinous, horrific thing I've ever seen, what they were doing. They were being pressured to do it. And they were being bullied and pressured. And he saw his friend being treated really bad. And many people, and they had video cameras to watch it. And it was basically what they were doing is they were blackmailing these people. They had everybody set up, cited and everything, that they're part of this new group, whatever. And then towards the end, they're being blackmailed for the heinous things that they were doing, that if they don't cooperate with their clique or their program, then they're going to blackmail them. And this is the same thing that they've been doing to a lot of these celebrities. So this kid actually saw, and then after that, he just went to go look for his phone, and the guy, the agent says, no problem, here's your phone. You can go ahead, and the chauffeur will, here's the car, and whatever. You're able to leave. You're able to leave now. But see, they thought, oh, he never saw anything, so he's fine. He didn't see anything, so he's fine. But it just got really, really, really weird. You got to check it out on YouTube. There's a video about it. And it's like, I'm so glad I wish I never went to this party. I think that's what the video is called. Actually, let me see. Let me get it right now. It's called, I Wish I Never Went to This Party. Yeah, definitely check it out. It was very eerie. Okay, very eerie. And this is what they do. This is what they've been doing for a long time. These groups in Hollywood is when they see talent, you know, really good talent, then they realize, you know what? I want a little bit of that. But I'm going to blackmail them so that way, you know what, I own their ass. And, you know, this was a really, really sad thing. I mean, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there like what I'm talking about with this guy that he finally left the party. After he left the party, he realized that things were being rearranged in his apartment, like they were following him in his apartment. Things were happening in his apartment that was not right. And it was after, basically after him confronting his friend, the David guy, the one that went with him and went along with the whole program. Well, what happened was they saw each other in the lobby, and then he goes, oh my God, Dave, what the hell happened? Are you okay? And, Dave pretty much told him, you know what, he wrote in a little napkin, he says, you need to get the hell out of here now as soon as possible. You need to leave. And it really freaked him out because he confronted to his friend David that he saw everything. And then the David ended up reporting him to the freaking party people. It's insane. You have to watch it. It's just better that you watch it. But anyway, so they started messing around in his apartment. You know, when he'd get up in the morning, he'd watch his, he'd turn his TV on, and he'd find out the TV wasn't working. He'd find out certain things in the apartment wasn't working. Yeah, things are being moved around, you know, and he's like, wait a second, something's going on, like trying to scare him out of there is what they were doing. They were threatening him. Then it went to his car. They started tinkering around in his car. And he realized it because the car wasn't driving the way that it normally drove, and just a lot of things that were happening. So he realized, he's like, I need to get the hell out of here. This is getting really, really scary. So he ended up taking off to Vegas, and so he can fly back home. And once he did that, he didn't have to worry ever again. They didn't follow him. They didn't chase him. Nothing. They just wanted him out of the city. Because he knew too much. He knew what was going on, and he knew he was going to rat everybody out. But, yeah, this is a common thing. This is not something new. This is something that's been going on for a very long time. And I remember when I was doing a workshop with Santos Bonacci back in 2020, and we actually had a hurricane that hit us that day. There was a woman who was a Russian ballerina that mentioned that she was approached to go to one of those parties, and she said, no, thank you. No, thank you. Because she heard about it. She heard exactly what it was all about. And, you know, they offer you, they say, hey, you know what, we're going to make your wishes come true. You're going to be a millionaire. If you go to this party, your whole life is going to change, and we're going to make you big. We're going to make you huge and all this stuff. And she says, I'm not going for it. No. And the same thing happened to my husband. He was approached as well. Actually, I want Darren to talk about his experience when he was approached, because he is a DJ. He was a DJ for many years.
Yeah, and quickly, Kelly, I mean, it's just basically what happened, what she's obviously just mentioned. Years ago, I've been a DJ since I was 21. I'm 51 now, so obviously I'd made international DJ status. So I've done my paper round. I did that by myself, but I wasn't as huge as I'd love to have been, like Armin van Buuren or Tiesto and all of them. They've obviously kissed the ring because that's where they are. And by some friends of friends of friends, one night we were just talking, and it just popped up saying, oh, well, we've been invited to a party, and it's at this big place, big house. My friend of a friend, you know. And I knew about this kind of stuff. And obviously I knew his friend's friend's friend was one of these Freemasons. And I thought, yeah, I know where this is going to go, because it was me that they invited directly through a friend of a friend of a friend. It was nobody else. I mean, they was just saying, oh, there's a party happening, but it was actually going to be for me. I was supposed to have went there and did the initiation and then got drunk or drugged or whatever the hell, and then went through all this kind of crap that the other people do, you know, like from Hollywood. They went through all this. But I never went because I knew exactly what it was and what was going to happen. And I just knew because of, like, knowing people like this and that's in this kind of thing. And several times I've been asked to become a Freemason. I turned them down. And even with this party, after turning down this party, stupid little things, I was taunted. You know, like these little games where you knock on the door, then you run away. And they were doing that to me for months, because I only lived walking distance from one of the lodges. I had a big townhouse, a three-level townhouse. And I could walk there literally in 30 seconds. I was on the right same corner as where my townhouse was. And every time they had their meetings, somebody would knock on the door, run away, knock on the door, run away. And this happened for like a couple of hours, for months. And just stupid little things like that just to taunt me. Oh, if you're not going to come in, then, you know. Because that's what they do, all these sick tricks. Just like with this, even this other guy who actually went to that party, just what my wife had just mentioned, with that other story. Same thing. They will taunt you till they get what they want, but obviously they gave up because I moved away. I just moved house. I moved out the city and went to another place. So there you have it. Yes, I was approached, and I could have been this big superstar DJ, but I made international DJ off my own back. Obviously, I never made it huge like the rest of these other big DJs did, but, you know, that's because I never kissed the ring. All these others do. They did. All these superstars. Everyone who's made a big kiss the ring. The Pope's ring, that's what it means. When the Pope comes into those kinds of meetings, you kiss his ring, that means your ass is now theirs. They will say, yes, oh, we'll promise you all the riches and all this. We'll give you a nice big ass house you can live in there and be rich and have whatever you want. But you do what we say. You will play what we tell you. You will display on your visuals what we tell you, how it's all done. So basically they're just saying, they would have basically used me as a pawn to try and keep people mind-washed, because the frequencies of my music would have been changed. The vision, there would have been a subliminal inputted messages on the visuals, on the stage and all this kind of crap, which normally is at concerts. So, yeah, I mean, it does. This is true. And some of the shit they do in those parties, from what I've learned and heard from people that's actually been there, which now I'm no longer friends with, but it's all true. I mean, I even, my wife was saying there before, I even talked to this ballerina girl as well. I was there with her doing this meeting, and we talked and we learned even exactly what I already knew, but they are wanting everybody, and there's a lot of people out there that are actually falling for it. They get promised if somebody sees talent in you and they can use you, obviously it's a Freemason, and they're going to promise you this, that, and the other, and then you just get hooked into it and not realize that you're being brainwashed and you're being prepared. That's what it is. You're being prepared underground without you even realizing it. And then one day when this happens, boom, they got you.
Yeah, she mentioned something else that was really freaky. She said, she says, all these superstars that you see right now, like on the movies, you know, all these superstars, they all sacrifice somebody that they love. Yeah. It was a loved one that was sacrificed. And my kids were telling me something, because they're all into doing the research, my son especially. And he's like, yeah, isn't it interesting? A lot of these stars, when they became big, somebody in the family member died. And I'm like, really? Like Eminem, I think something happened to the mom. Some of these other superstars, something happened to somebody that was close to them, and they were murdered or died. It could be brother, auntie, uncle, whatever. And she told me that. She said, yeah, because she was so in the Hollywood scene, because she was a ballerina and all this stuff. She saw a lot of shit happening. And she says, everybody that you see, all these big stars that you really like and whatever, every single one of them, they sacrificed their loved ones so they can be as big as they are. That's why. I was like, oh my, what? That was so scary, man. It's insane. And it kind of goes all the way back to an article that I was reading. I've been studying a lot about history for many years, and I've been coming across this guy, Michael Ford's work. He's really, really interesting. Like he goes into magic, but I don't know if he's got a degree in history or what, but he's really good with that. He does a lot of research about the Canaanites, you know, the Middle Eastern people, the religions, you know, how they were, the gods that they worshipped. I mean, he really, really gets into it. And, you know, we're seeing that the celebrities, okay, because we're all trying to figure out what the hell, you know, they're worshipping something. And they are worshipping some type of deities that are really ancient, and it goes way back, and it's a Semitic, some form of Semiticism, because it goes all the way back to Canaanite days. And they worship these types of gods, and one of them is being Moloch. It looks like the owl. They have done rites for thousands of years ago, they've done rites to sacrifice children and even human beings to the statue, okay? Well, you know, the enactments are happen every year. You know, they have one in the Bohemian Grove, but they say no one's really getting sacrificed. You know, it's just enactments to play the part that they are getting sacrificed, to be part of the whole, it's part of the whole tradition, I guess. But when you think about it, this is what's going on, and still happening to this day, still happening. This month is a big month. March and April, early April, are big months, and it has a lot to do. It could be to do with Ostara, you know, the beginning of the spring equinox, and some other holiday, some type of holiday. I haven't really, I got to check it out again, but I was reading about it. Some type of holiday that they get prepared and ready for, and there's just so much blood sacrifices going on right now. It's like it happens around this time, and Halloween, really bad, okay? So these, I'm going back into the celebrity world. So what is happening? My son showed me a video of Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl, how she like pounded this friggin' drink, and she pounded it, and she just went, she slammed it right on the table. And while this was happening, the weirdest shit was happening. Like some lady behind her was doing some signs, like you know, like the devil signs or whatever. Us, to me, it's Pan, you know, because it's paganism. You know, I don't get scared when I see those signs at all. It doesn't scare me because I'm pagan anyway. But, you know, she's just doing the sign and acting really weird and then taking her shirt and putting it up her neck and like some ritualistic way. And the guy next to Taylor Swift was like, had his arm out, and like he looked like it was waving, but he was doing some signs or some shit, like crazy shit, man. And but they were blurred where we couldn't really see. And what a bunch of fucking weirdos. Like I'm like I said, I'm a big time practitioner of magic. I've been a practitioner of magic for many years. I was part of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn Lodge. And we never did any crazy shit like that. Okay. These people look psychotic. Like there's something wrong with them, literally. And it's like they come out of, they come off the stage and you get to see who they really are. How they really act. These people are traumatized, okay? Very traumatized. And I'll tell you, I don't believe, brainwashed, traumatized, MK Ultra, you name it, whatever it is, but it did not look normal. So if you check that out with the Super Bowl, Taylor Swift drinking that beer and slamming it, and you watch that, you'll see what I'm talking about. It just looks really weird to me, okay? So anyway, going to that, and then what is it, Rihanna? Rihanna, she did a thing at the Super Bowl, and she's singing, and she does something with her hand, and it's a gesture, and it's like a pyramid. Like she makes it look like a pyramid, and she puts it up in the sky. You know, she puts her hands up above her head. And I go, oh yeah, I know that sign. That's the sign of fire. That's a sign of fire, and that's a gesture that we use in the lodges that I was a part of, you know, the fire, the water, you know, I know all those gestures, okay? And it's like she doesn't even know what it is. She's like, oh, okay, you know, she's putting her hand up, you know, she's just performing. They don't know what it is and what it's about, you know, or maybe who knows, but they are just, and to me, why I'm bringing this up to you guys is you guys are powerful. You don't need groups like this to do this, okay? These people have become prey because they want power and fame. And so they get blackmailed into these groups. Okay, you want fame, whatever, but you're going to have to be part of this friggin' new religion and whatever their new religion is. I believe it has a lot to do with Moloch. And I believe Baal, that's another Canaanite or specific god. These gods, and Yahweh was part of that Canaanite pantheon, by the way. He was known as the storm god. But this Canaanite group back in those days were actually very warlike. And they would pray to these gods that were pretty damn bloody, bloody. And it reminds me of the Mayans, you know, the Mayans and Aztecs from the ancient days. And like I said, this has been going on for thousands of years. And I believe that the Canaanite theme has a lot to do with Zionism. That's why if you've ever did the research with Russia and how 60 million Russians were murdered thanks to the Bolsheviks, Vix, who was actually, you know, Nick, what was his name? Nicholas, Tsar, his cousin, was a king, and the king was hired the Rothschild and the Bolsheviks to murder the family in cold blood, and along with 60 million Russians. And these people are of a Zionist Jewish sect, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you again, and I've said this before, I have nothing against Jewish people. I love Jewish people. They're wonderful people. I have good friends. I love the food. Just beautiful, beautiful people, okay? And they're very smart, intelligent people. And I was involved in the Kabbalah. You know, I learned a lot about that for many, many, many years, and even went to the Kabbalah Center, too. I was part of that. But there are there's a sect, and even the rabbis speak about this. They've even said about it on TikTok. You know, they're talking about the war going on with Palestine and Israel, and how the Jewish people don't want nothing to do with Israel, because Israel's are ran by the Zionists, and he actually explained, this one rabbi, that they're not really Jewish, because if they were Jewish, they would follow the Ten Commandments. They'd follow everything that Yahweh or God put there in the laws, okay, which is understandable. But these people that are running Israel are running the Hollywood, okay, the financial banking system. They are known as the Zionists, and this could be the possibility that they are worshiping these gods that are Canaanite, that are very, that began before they became Israelites, I guess, if I'm right. I got to look at the history book again. But that's what happened, because Israel, the Israelites got in war with the Canaanites. And I believe they were Jewish too. They were all Jewish at that time. They were of a Jewish lineage, okay, but they're worshiping all these pantheons, and I guess the bull, the bronze bull, or whatever, the golden cow, or the golden calf they're worshiping too, and I guess they realize, you know, this is getting out of hand, let's just, you know, go with Yahweh, even though he's the god of the storm that's part of this pantheon, let's just deal with him, and let's follow his rule, let's just do that, right? And, but anyway, that's what I feel, and I believe anyway, that the Zionists, this type of sect of the Jewish Zionists anyway, they're not really Jewish, from what that rabbi said. They were, he says, those are like the former Jews that turned to materialism. They turned away from God, and they just turned into materialism. And so therefore, these people that are running the show are running the pedophilia rings. They're running the cannibalisms going on, because cannibalism was really big back then, from what I was reading as well about the Bolshevik Jews from back then, because it has a lot to do with their religion of ancient times, way beyond Judaism, way beyond that, way before that. And they were doing some heinous things because they believed that human sacrifices was going to give them power and fame. Okay, so there's a long history about all of that, and that is why this is happening. When you see the celebrities, they are completely controlled. But what do we do about this? Okay, what do we do about this? Well, number one, it's good to educate yourself and learn about this. Learn about the Canaanite gods. Learn how they were worshiping these deities. Learn about ancient Sumeria. I mean, really do your research with history. That's why I'm such a big history buff. I love learning about history, because it really makes sense about the world, where it's going right now, what this world is about. You know, in order for you to understand the world now, you got to go to the past to understand humanity, right? So what I'm here to tell you is this, you know, those of you who want to be celebrities, and, you know, and my daughter, she's a freaking artist. She's an amazing singer. And I already warned her, don't you ever, ever go to those parties, because they'll roll your ass, and then they'll come after one of us and try to kill us. You know, it's horrible. They blackmail you. You have the power yourself. You know, these people that pray to these big time ancient gods, all right, and they get all this power and wealth. I mean, you can go ahead. If you want to do that, you can do it yourself. You can go straight to those gods yourself. I don't work with those gods, by the way. I refuse to. Anything involving human sacrifice, animal sacrifice, even animal sacrifice, even the Santeria shit, I'm not into at all. And what happens is the people get blackmailed into believing, oh, my God, but they have the power, and I don't have the power to do anything. It's bullshit. You do have the power. You have the power to be a powerful magician yourself. You don't need to go to those groups to do anything. You don't need them to own you. Because it's us. We come from the creator, okay, the prime creator, whoever, whatever that is, that energy is, we are of that essence. And so therefore, we are creators. We create things through the power of our mind, okay, through the power of our emotions, really. It's through the passion that we have. And these beings that are of Zionism or maybe even of another species, okay, I've heard about that too. They don't have that ability like we do, we humans do. We have the ability to create and manifest things, amazing, do amazing works of art, amazing music, because of the range of emotions that we have. According to Alex Collier, who is a contactee of the Andromedans, he mentioned that. He said, we humans have ranges of emotions that many of these other beings, you know, galactic beings, do not have. We're the only ones in out of the galaxy, out of the whole universe, that have this ability, and therefore we hold the DNA of 22 strands of other extraterrestrial races. That's what he says, anyway. Don't hurt the messenger here. Don't get mad at the messenger. I'm just, you know, telling you what I've read and everything and what I've heard. And so because of that, these other beings, tyrannical beings, you know, I mean, if you want to go way back, we go way back to the Anunnaki, that pretty much is responsible for the genetic manipulation of the human being, okay, many geneticists back then. But if you want to go way back, I mean, it goes way, thousands of years, it can go millions of years. Who the hell knows how many freaking years ago this has been happening? But anyway, these beings that are in control of the echelons, I just call them the echelons or all glarks, don't have the same gift as we do. They don't have that range of emotion like we do. Many of them are psychopaths. Many of them can't feel like we can feel. We can go ahead and, like actors and actresses, they can play the part with a range of emotions to cry, to be happy, to be sad, or, you know, they're really good with that because they know that that's their energy. They have that talent because they're human beings. It's something we all have, all right? So these beings like to feed off of us. They feed off of our energy. They feed off of our fear. They feed off of our joy.
They create the fear because when you look at it, obviously all the news reporters create that feeling of fear by telling everybody, oh, look, have you noticed it's always bad stuff that's on the news?
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's been a fire. Oh, look, there's been an earthquake. Oh, look, 20 people have died. Oh, look, there's a car turned over. Oh, look, it's all bad stuff to make you go, oh, no. And you emit that fear out that feeds these fuckers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I was listening to Uncle Chucky, really, really funny. He's really awesome. He's a radionics guy. He's heavy into radionics, okay? And he's – radionics, basically what it is, my husband makes those. It's a radionics box. You can actually put your manifestations or things that you want to manifest on it, like a picture or something, and you can actually enhance the energy, the frequency of what it is that your magic entails, okay? It's really, really technical, powerful stuff, and it centers around Oregon energy. But anyway, this guy, Uncle Chucky, was talking about it, how they were saying, I guess him and J.S. Garrett, another magician, was talking about how you wouldn't it be interesting to just take that energy, like from a crowd that's like, yeah, and you take that energy and you use your organ, your radionics, but it's called like a vampire or radionics, where you can suck the energy and you can suck it for yourself and you feel like amazing. Imagine that energy that goes from the people onto these parasitical feeders, and how they're feeling, and they do it deliberately so they can take in your energy.
Yeah,
you see? Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Was that black guy, the Darius Zudu or whatever?
I don't remember him.
A couple of years.
I can't remember his name again, but it was a few years back where there was obviously a black artist, someone like Darius or Dario or something, where somebody got crushed at the beginning, at the front of the stage or something, and they were lifeless. And then the artist was on stage. He just looked down. He went, dead. You know, like as if he was in like some kind of hypnotic state.
Yeah,
and
people got crushed.
Yeah. So obviously it's out there. The news tells you some things. It leaks, this is what's happened, but it's always fear just to get you into this mode. So you keep feeding them. That's what you're doing. You go to the concerts, you're thinking, oh, yeah, but you're feeding them. That's what it is.
Yeah, and you are. You are definitely doing that. And then so Uncle Chucky was saying, oh, yeah, I am. Used the vampire radionics one time on Ronald Reagan because I really wanted to take on his personality, his energy. You know, he was so well known, he was so well loved. I wanted to take in that energy, so he would do that. You know, he ended up taking his energy like that. You know, he wanted to try it out, and sure shit, what happened? He ended up getting shot. I guess he got shot 3 times. He's like, oh, that wasn't a good thing, so he stopped doing it because he really did like Ronald Reagan. But imagine what they do to the people. Imagine what they do to everybody in a whole when they utilize certain types of, mind programming, magic, psionics, all of that stuff to take it in. So it's very interesting. And it's like the more that you start to see with your own eyes, it, obviously wisdom, enlightenment is what you want. You want to ask your higher self, please enlighten me. Please let me see the truth. Let me see the truth of what's really going on around me or what's happening. And believe me, you will get exactly that. You are going to start to see things that you're not really ready for, and it will scare you. You know, it will really freak the hell out of you, and you're going to realize this world that we've been living in for a long time has been a lie. Well, the societies anyway, I'm not saying the world. I mean, it's a beautiful world. It really is. It's just these other beings that have come so many thousands of years ago have controlled society for so long and created their traditions and based on their religious beliefs, which has to do with controlling the population. And they bring in religions, you know, all types of religions to keep the people dumbed down so they can control them and feed off their energy. So if we can take our power back, if we can just be the magicians, I mean, you can be an atheist magician. You don't have to believe in anything. You can be a theistic magician, whatever. Just being a human and knowing how to utilize the power yourself that these things feed off of. Can you imagine what we can do?
You could actually kill them. What you would do is like, look at it now. Look at reality. They're trying to starve us out, right? Truckers stopped, they burned crops, they killed farm animals. So that's our meat, that's our food. So they tried starving us out. So that's what we do to them. If you can't get rid of them, you have to starve them out by not feeding them with your energy. Just turn your back. Don't let that bullshit that they throw at you bother you, because it's only how you respond to what they're showing you is obviously how you're feeding them. So just respond different in a different way. It's different. Just, you know, you can do a sarcastic way or whatever, if that makes you feel better. Oh, yeah, whatever kind of thing, you know. But that's how we're going to starve them out. Just don't feed them with our negative energy and just stop buying into their bullshit, because that's all it is. They cannot do nothing to us. It's only by... You can't mess with free will. It's only by your decision. If you say, no, you can't do anything like that, they can't.
Mm-hmm.
But they will try and trick you. Mm-hmm. They will try and put fear into you. Oh, if you don't do it, you're going to go to jail. No, I'm not. I can't, because that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But how it will work is starving them out, not giving that negative energy, that shock energy that they're trying to get everybody to feel, so they can suck it out. That's why they put all this shit on the news. That's why they put all these, they create these massive events to shock the world. I mean, you've seen them. They're planning them again. This year is going to be another interesting year, so watch out for the events. Don't let it bother you and starve them out.
What events?
Well, the events that we've been learning about, obviously, there's things even with World War III, there's a big fear on about nuclear weapons being thrown all over the place. But here's Putin saying, no, don't believe that bullshit. That's just the American government elite trying to get you to believe this, that, and the other, and it's not really happening. And they're always wanting extra money off you, so they're going to tax you for this, that, the other, and they're taking everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And then the rest of the world is like, yeah, we're living it fine. We're doing this to help our people, but at the same time, you've got the American elite and the Canadian elite. There's other countries as well, which is out there. That's obviously destroying their countries. They're killing their civilians, their people, their own people, but they're blaming it on others. That's how it is. Like it says in the Bible, there will be wars, and also you will hear of wars that don't exist. So this thing that Putin could be saying, well, it's a load of bullshit. It's just propaganda, what the Western elites are putting out. Then, yeah, sure, this could be one of the wars that is not really happening, for all we know. Unless somebody knows somebody who's over there, in there. But there will be bombings, there will be shootings, but it'll be for a different reason for what they're telling us. Just like I had a friend that was in the Gulf War. He come back, he says, it wasn't about the oil. They brought back gold. They stole their gold. And it wasn't to do with mass destruction or nothing like that. It was all like a coup. So these wars are all just money-making machines and bullshit, really, for control over the population.
Yeah, so number one thing is, yeah, turn your television off, quit watching TV. Question the media, quit watching the news anyway. That's exactly where they grab you. They grab your attention, and it's to get your fear. Any type of fear that they use, they suck that energy out of you. And you create it. You actually do create it because you're the creator. So all they have to do is trigger you in some way, and you will create the fear, you know. And the best tactic to do it is don't focus, because the power of your focus and your will is very, very strong, is utilized in magic. It's utilized in goal creation. You know, if you're setting a goal and you're focused on it, you're driven, you're motivated. So can you imagine if they took that focus away for their thing, what you're creating out of that? And that's really how it is. You're the creator. You're the power behind it all. And without that, they can't feed off your energy. They can't do anything else. So that's why it's important, you know, whatever type of ritual work that you do, whatever type of prayers that you do, it doesn't matter. You know, utilize it in the way to help you to enhance your power, to really expand that aura of strength and shield your aura, because it's a war to do with your mind. It's a spiritual war. Yes, it's some type of spiritual war. They want to control everything, but you give them permission all the time. We give them permission always. They're always giving them permission, and we don't realize it. So that's exactly what this is all about. And when you see these poor celebrities just going south, and they make it even more evident for you to see. They want you to see because they want you to be scared. So some of you can say, okay, I'm going to turn Christian. I am going to turn to my Jesus Christ or Lord or whatever, and thinking that that's going to help. It might help for some of you, sure. But if you realize that, if you go back in history, exactly like I said, the Canaanite gods, that goes way back, you know, Yahweh was one of those gods. He was a god of storm, but he wasn't as, I wouldn't say he wasn't as bloody, but at the same time, he kind of was, because he created floods to take out the human race. and as well as what firstborn sons having to be sacrificed as well, or I mean,
wasn't that King Herod?
I think it was King Herod. One of them, yeah, he was the one who went to go sacrifice all the newborn sons. But there was a verse in the Bible where God said, "If you love me enough, you would kill your son for me." I mean, that to me, like I said, that goes all the way back to Canaanite. Anything to do with human sacrifices, I mean, it's all in the Bible. You know, it's all there, and it all stems from that tribe, those people. And those same people are still running the show. So, I mean, it's a hard reality to swallow. And you follow all the holidays. A lot of the holidays are based upon these pagan groups, pagan holidays. You know, and then they Christianize them so that way the pagans would say, okay, yeah, we'll go ahead and follow this type of religion, whatever. But it's your choice. You know what I mean? We all have the power of choice. So I'm going to go ahead and read something very interesting about, you know, I want to read about that. And let me see, I'm going to get that. Very, very interesting and eye-opening, because it's best to be educated in this. So there is this article. It's called The True History of Moloch, the Ancient God of Child Sacrifice, by Marco Margaritoff. Perhaps no pagan deity was as reviled as Moloch, a god whose cult reportedly sacrificed children in a furnace set inside the belly of a bronze bull. Throughout antiquity, sacrifice might have been utilized in times of great strife, but one cult stands out from the rest for its brutality. The cult of Moloch, the alleged Canaanite god of child sacrifice. The cult of Moloch, or Moloch, is said to have boiled children alive in the bowels of a big bronze statue with the body of a man and the head of a bull. Offerings, at least according to some inscriptions in the Hebrew Bible, were to be reaped through either fire or war, and it's rumored that devotees can still be found to this day. So who is Moloch, and who prayed to him? Although historical and archaeological communities still debate Moloch's identity and influence, he seems to have been a god of the Canaanites, which was a religion born out of combination of ancient Semitic faiths. What's known about Moloch largely comes from Judaic texts outlining the worship of him and the writings of ancient Greek and Roman authors. The cult of Moloch is believed to have been practiced by the people of the Levant region from at least the early Bronze Age, and images of his bullish head with a child burning in his belly persist until the medieval times. Well, I believe it's a lot. They're still doing it. His name likely derives from the Hebrew word melech, which usually stands for king. There are also references to a Moloch in ancient Greek translations of old Judaic texts as well. These date back to the Second Temple period between 516 BC and 70 CE, before the Second Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. Moloch is most frequently referred to in Leviticus. Here's a passage from Leviticus 18:21 condemning child sacrifice. Do not allow any of your children to be offered to Moloch. Passages in Kings, as Isaiah and Jeremiah, also referred to a Tophet, which has been defined as both a location in ancient Jerusalem where there was a special bronze statue internally heated by fire, or the statue itself, into which children were apparently thrown for sacrifice. Medieval French rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, otherwise known as Rashi, wrote an extensive commentary on these passages in the 12th century, as he wrote, Tophet is Moloch, which is made of brass, and they heated him from his lower parts and his hands being stretched out and made hot. They put the children between his hands, and it was burnt. When it vehemently cried out, but the priest beat a drum that the father might not hear the voice of his son and his heart might not be moved. Comparing ancient Hebrew and Greek texts. Scholars have compared these biblical references to later Greek and Latin accounts, which also spoke of fire-centric child sacrifices in the Carthaginian Carthaginian city of Punic. Plutarch, for instance, wrote of burning children as an offering to Baal, Haman, a chief god in Carthage who was responsible for the weather and agriculture. While scholars are still debating whether or not the Carthaginian practice of child sacrifice differed from the cult of Moloch, it's generally believed that Carthage only sacrificed children when it was absolutely necessary, like during an especially bad drought, whereas the cult of Moloch might have sacrificed more regularly. Then again, some researchers argue that neither of these cults sacrificed children at all, and that passing through the fire was a poetic term that most likely referred to initiation rites that may have been painful, but not deadly. Further, complicating matters is that there is every reason to believe these accounts were exaggerated by the Romans to make the Carthaginians appear crueler and more primitive than they were, as they were the bitter enemies of Rome after all. Nonetheless, archaeological excavations in the 1920s discovered primary evidence of child sacrifice in the region, and researchers found the term MLK inscribed on numerous artifacts. Depictions in modern culture and distilling the Moloch owl. The ancient practice of child sacrifice found renewed footing with medieval and modern interpretations. As English poet John Milton wrote in his 1667 masterpiece, Paradise Lost, Moloch is one of Satan's chief warriors and one of the greatest fallen angels the devil has on his side. According to this fictional account, Moloch gives a speech at Hell's Parliament where he advocates for immediate war against God and is then revered on earth as a pagan god, much to God's chagrin. First, Moloch, horrid king, besmeared with blood of human sacrifice and parents' tears, though for the noise of drums and timbrels loud, their children's cries unheard that passed through fire. Oh my gosh, that's so terrible. Gustav Flaubert's 1862 novel about Carthage, Salammbô, also depicted child sacrifice in poetic detail. The victims, when scarcely at the edge of the opening, disappeared like a drop of water on a red-hot plate, and white smoke rose amid the great scarlet color. Nevertheless, the appetite of the god was not appeased. He ever wished for more. In order to furnish him with a larger supply, the victims were piled up on his hands with a big chain above them, which kept them in their place. This novel is supposedly historical. Moloch made another appearance in the modern era with Italian director Giovanni Pastrone's 1914 film Cabiria, which was based on the novel of Flaubert. From Allen Ginsberg's Howl to Robin Hardy's 1975 horror classic, The Wicker Man, varying depictions of this cult abound today. Most recently, an exhibit celebrating ancient Carthage popped up in Rome with a golden statue of Moloch placed outside of the Roman Colosseum in November 2019. It served as a memorial of sorts to the defeated enemy of the Roman Republic, and the version of Moloch used was purportedly based on the one Pastrone used in his film, down to the bronze furnace in its chest. In the past, Moloch has been connected to Bohemian Grove, a shadowy gentleman's club for wealthy elites that met in San Francisco woods because the group erected a great wooden owl totem there each summer. However, this seems to be based on the erroneous conflation between the Moloch bull Tophet and the Bohemian Grove owl totem perpetuated by notorious huckster Alex Jones. While conspiracy theorists will continue to claim that this is yet another rival occult symbol of child sacrifice still in use by covert elites, the truth may be less dramatic. So it's pretty interesting. And then somebody that commented, I have been doing a lot of research and I disagree that child sacrifice doesn't exist today. The child trafficking rings that are being destroyed are daily in the news. The dark web seems to hold the evidence of child sacrifice and photos are leaking out. Do more research if you dare. It made me want to vomit. Thanks for your research. But there you have it. You know, that's what's going on with the child rings right now. You know, the human sacrifice is happening right now. So you know that it's having to do with some type of religion, you know, a real fanatic group that totally does this stuff, you know, that's been doing this for thousands of years. This is not something that just popped right up out of the blue. Oh, Hollywood's just doing this now for the past, you know, couple years or so. No, they've been doing this for a very, very, very long time. And it's up to us to do the research to see what's really, really happening. To, you know, make sure your children are safe always. And, you know, of course, these are the same people that are in control of the system, that are in control of the public system, the school system. I mean, that's when you have to really do your research and wake up from the illusion that you've been living in for so long, stop watching all these sitcoms and opera shows, or what are they called, soap shows, soap operas, yeah. And, you know, it's time to seriously wake up. You know, if you really want to make a change in this reality, you're going to have to wake up. That's just it. Wake up and take action and do something, you know. There's a lot of activist groups out there speaking their minds, and it's very, very, very important. And, you know, you can even get a lot of petitions, a lot of signatures to fight these heinous crimes, which I find to be very, very powerful as well. Because people are powerful. You know, we the people are very powerful. We the people have a voice. And, you know, we just have to see what's happening. You know, kind of like that temple I was telling you about in the last show about the Satanic Temple. I mean, they're mainly political. They're not religious at all. Religious in a way like spiritual or any of that in that way. But they're doing a lot. They're doing a lot to basically, you know, if it's against the U.S. Constitution, they actually speak up and say, hey, wait a second, you know, this is the U.S. Constitution, and what you guys are doing is wrong. And speaking of that as well, you know, the United States of America is based upon Zionism, based upon Judaism anyway, because it's based upon, they said, you know, according to the Constitution, everything's based upon the Ten Commandments. Why would they even utilize a religious commandment to found the country in the first place, when this country, the United States, is supposed to be separated between church and state? That's why people came to America for freedom, to be free from the Inquisition, to be free from all of this church and state crap, because they really put science first. They, you know, instead of putting their energy into religion and believing in something that is in the sky that they can't really prove. You know, that's why science is so, so damn important. And I'm not saying science is another God. I mean, it can be another God for a lot of people, but and you got to be careful with that as well. Science does have its falsies, you know, has his, does, it's not completely perfect. But so when you realize that, you know, the court system is based upon canon law, and canon law comes from the Vatican. And it's really funny that when they tell you to place your hand on the Holy Bible, you know, for the truth and nothing but the truth, and so help you God. First of all, my opinion anyway, it's my opinion, the Bible is created by man, by many, many different cultures and or texts all put together to create this Holy Bible. And, you know, that alone should have been shunned from the courts, because if, again, why are they utilizing a Holy Bible that has to do with religion when the country is supposed to be separate from religion and state? Why would you have to put your hand on the Holy Bible? Now me, if I put my hand on the Holy Bible, I'll say, I'm sorry, but you know, to me that it's a book of lies. So therefore I'm supposed to put my hand and make it, have an oath, take an oath or whatever on this Bible. It doesn't make sense to me, because I already know where the Bible comes from. I know it's created, it's fabricated by a lot of other people's points of views, and to so many people, it is considered the law. Wait a second. It's separation of church and state. What's going on? You know, and why are you utilizing a Latin terminology in the courts? Because the Latin was highly used in a lot of these priesthoods and these big churches in Rome. You know, Latin was used among these people, highly used. So, you know, there's a lot of things that people need to see. And, you know, and that's what the Satanic Temple does. At least they put a stop to all of that. Like, whoa, wait a second. You know, you're going to, you know, and they can tell. They're like, if you're going to erect something Jewish on this property, you know, for the veterans and everything. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to put our statue next to it as well. And their statue is something. I think it's Baphomet or something like that. And then people think, oh, Baphomet's evil as well. And really, if you really learn about the history about Baphomet, has nothing to do with human sacrifice or anything in a negative context, like Moloch anyway. He actually represents, it's like a man and female, which represents as above, so below, night and day, that everything is combined, and he represents balance. And there's a video about that somewhere, too. You can check it out. But it's really the people's perceptions. But we have been mind controlled for so long to be in fear of these symbols because they don't want you to take your power back. They want to feed off your fear. So go to their churches, go to all their churches that make a shitload of money, by the way. Like I'm saying, if you want to make money, you know, start up a Christian church. I tell you, you're going to be a millionaire. You're going to make a shitload of money. A lot of these preachers now, they make a lot of money. And, you know, hey, a lot of money buying a lot of expensive things. And I've seen them. But anyway, so it all has to do with that. And then here in Mexico, you know, we know that this country is based upon Catholicism because of Spain and all of that stuff. But, you know, it's actually very, very open-minded. You know, you can actually, it's very free what religion, you know, whatever religion you wish to practice, you're pretty much free here. It's pretty cool. And like some of the Arabic countries anyway, you're not really free, like Dubai or whatever. But Egypt, I thought I was, you know, pretty free there. It was pretty cool. But anyway, that's pretty much where we're at. You know, we have to put things together. I mean, really check things out. You know, David Icke is somebody that we used to follow for a very long time. Jordan Maxwell, he really takes everything apart, utilizing the symbolism, what each symbol means, what it represents, and things that we never even realize. And he goes into the banking system and how, you know, the bank system has controlled America.
So Santos explains all the symbolism.
Yeah. Oh, Santos, he's all about, Santo Bonacci, he's all about syncretism and really putting everything together. Like, you know, hey, you know, he utilizes astrology or astrotheology in his work. He really does a lot of research in history. He's really a smart guy. And I'm really, really glad that we were able to do a workshop with him that day. It was like a few days. It was pretty, pretty powerful stuff. But yeah, so that's what I think the celebrities are worshiping. It all goes back to the Canaanite gods. And they're letting you know how they are, too. They put it out there in front of your face. And it's really like a threat. You know, it's a threat to scare you into submission, to go crawl to another god so you can lose your power and wait for some belief system that, oh, don't worry, because when you go to heaven, you're going to be fine, or, you know, make you wish that you would commit suicide or die because, you know what I mean, when you have the power all along, okay? And that's pretty much it. You have the power all along, and that's something that they don't want you to know at all. And it's just time to wake up to the reality of who you truly, truly, truly are. So don't ever go to those parties, okay? And a lot of these Illuminati things that are going on, you know, like, oh, one guy, he ended up posting on Facebook saying, oh, my gosh, I joined the Illuminati, and then they just keep taking my money and saying that if I stop going, you know, being part of their, and I think it was probably online or some crap like that. And then I ended up putting up E.A. Coetting's link. And if you ever heard of E.A. Coetting, he's a practitioner of black magic and everything, and he teaches people how to take their power back to be their own magician, practicing their own way of magic to counteract the brainwashing and the mind control of the oligarchs and all that stuff. And you know what happened to E.A. Coetting? It was very interesting, and he was really big for a very long time on YouTube, until they got to him as well, okay? They ended up getting to him, and the first thing was they ended up following him after they went to go pick up his daughter from school, I believe, or he was on his way to pick up his daughter in school, and this was in Utah, these black suburban cars, SUVs, were following him. And he's like, what the hell? What the hell's going on? And they ended up going, I think they ended up arresting him and saying, oh, you're a drug addict and you got drugs everywhere and blah, 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 blah. And so we're going to arrest you and throw you in jail and, you know, all this stuff. And that's all it was. Something to do with drugs. And then he had a bunch of guns in his house. He's like, yeah, I have the right, I have the permit to carry all these guns. What the hell's going on? So he was already getting taunted by these guys, by the government authority or whatever, because he was getting really big and teaching people to take their power back and be magical, you know, do what the elites are doing, but, you know, without the human sacrifice ship. Do what they're doing and being powerful, tuning into your own freaking power and making shit happen in your life, okay, without having to go run over to those guys for help. So, and another thing, what happened was, you know, they shut down his channel. YouTube shut down his channel due to some fabricated lies, and it had to do with some guy. He wasn't even really a member of EA Quetting's forum. He was not really a part of it. He was only in like maybe a couple times, but he wasn't really big in it, in the forum. And he says, I don't even think he even purchased any of his books. And he ended up doing a pact with one of the demons or something and saying that, you know, in return of this pact, I want fame, I want this, but I'm going to murder these two girls. And he ended up murdering two women out of England. And, I mean, the guy was psychologically effed up in the head. And he actually followed through with this murder, and therefore EA Quetting was caught up in the mix. And he was blamed for it when he doesn't teach that. He doesn't teach human sacrifice. He doesn't teach you to go murder people. And I know this because I purchased his books and his videos and all of that stuff. And I'm like, what the hell? So they blame him right away, using that to ruin his career, like they did with me when I spoke up about against Sandy Hook and all that shit. And they were going to do another thing like that in Texas where, you know, it's like fake, like, you know, kids trying to kill each other and all this stuff with guns, but it was actually orchestrated to make it look like that so they can take your guns from you. And that's what I saw with Sandy Hook. It was all bullshit. And I hate to say it, but I'm sorry, but it was a lot of it was BS. And the same people that were crying over their victims or children were actually the same ones that were acting in another orchestrated thing that was happening, you know, kind of like the movie The Game. If you ever seen the movie The Game, it's very, very similar, how they orchestrate things and make things look real and, it, you know, to the public's eye. I mean, hell, hence, look what's going on with the news, look what's going on in the movies, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, just quickly, I've been seeing some of these videos on YouTube and online and how they actually put them together. And I saw there was obviously a camera crew there, and then there was like hundreds of people in the distance, and we heard on this tannoy, when we shout action, I want everybody to run towards the camera and run past the camera in fear. So they did all that, and blah, 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 blah. It looked pretty good. I thought, okay, they're probably making a movie or some shit. But then later on, a couple of months later, I see that same very clip used on the news for some BS they tried putting out there by saying, oh, it was a bomb scare or something in a train station, or something exploded and everybody was running away, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but a couple of months after seeing that put into practice, I actually saw it on the news. I'm thinking, well, I just saw that being actually made. So that is not what really happened when you think about it, right? And you see, there's a lot of others out there that we've saw, and a lot of people have caught them out by thinking, well, look at that time when there was hundreds of black body bags on the street. And then just for a second, one guy flicks back his body bag just to have a quick smoke, hoping nobody would notice. And then somebody comes across saying, well, fill him in, stop it. And he had to put his thing back down, you know? So it's things like this we actually see, and then later on you see, well, oh, well, I saw them actually making that, so that's bullshit. So, you know, I thought I'd just throw that in there because they're doing it in front of your face, man. They're laughing at you because they have to tell you what they're going to do. That's one of the universal laws, or else it's a punishment for them. They have to tell you what they're going to do. And they do that by using things like The Simpsons. Oh, well, Simpsons, they've done it again. They've predicted this, they've predicted that. No, it's not prediction. It's fucking pre-planned. Duh. Everything is. This is how they do it. This is how they get you to believe in that bullshit. This is how they condition your mind slowly into believing them and to a point where it's evident that they have you under their little spell. So that's what that's all about. And just don't get caught up in it, or at least analyze it. Ask questions. Put some research behind it. Not just Google, because Google sometimes tells lies, but there's other search engines out there. Use as much resources as you can get. Ask people, whatever, it's do your homework, and then you'll find that it's all just one big crock of shit, all just to keep you all in fear mode, or at least into such a negative mode where you're feeling not just fear, but also mad inside. That's still a negative feeling when you're angry inside. That also feeds them still.
Exactly. It's all about taking your power back. And this is why I've been teaching people for many years, for 13 years, to become secure creditors and for an agent to take your power back by utilizing paperwork, which is the UCC-1, the security agreement, power of attorney general, and so forth, to basically let them know I've changed my status from being a slave that you've been controlling all this time to being a secured creditor and then moving on to being a foreign agent or diplomat, executor or executrix of my own trust, because they take your birth certificates, you know, and they monetize off them, making money off of them, turning your name into a corporation and sucking your energy dry and constantly charging you debt that they've created anyway. They've created. I go into all of that information. You know, for many, many years, I've helped so many people to get rid of certain types of debt, put a stop to court cases, judgments, things like that. And I had an issue with child support with an ex-husband that was after me, you know, after taking my two kids in a wrong way, just a very sick way. Having a husband that you thought that loved you turn on you like that, okay, and then take your kids from you and writing up some false bullshit documents and taking control. And really, because I was so, you know, I was so shocked, I didn't know I had a lot more power, because and I could have gotten my kids back, but I didn't have the money. I didn't have the support like he did. He had all that support. So then later he came after me for child support, and then that's when I put a stop to it, utilizing the power of becoming a secure creditor and having a silver bullet trust. And I teach people this. I have it on Amazon.com if you want to check it out. It's an e-course called Be Bulletproof as a Secure Creditor. And you'll be able to find that there on Amazon by Dr. Joanna Johnston, my old married name. I go by Johnston at the time. And you can go ahead and check it out. I also have the book on Lulu.com, Be Bulletproof as a Secure Creditor, just the book itself. You can you can order that in paperback. And it gives you the history about why you have a lot of power that they have taken from you, really, they haven't really taken it away from you yet. It's just, you know, as long as you've been agreeing to them taking the power from you, you see what I mean? But once you start to learn and understand that the country that you're in is actually a corporation and the courts are actually fiction, they're de facto, they're fictitious de facto courts that are run on a color of law, and what color of law means law that is fraudulent, that has no real backing, because it goes, it abides by the law of statue, which you can change any time. And it's not, in a, it, it does not abide with the Constitution. And how they hoodwinked you, how they got you and infiltrated the United States, was getting people to use their funny money, which had nothing to do with the U.S. Constitution, because according to the U.S. Constitution, you're only supposed to be using gold, gold and silver. If you use another type of currency that's outside of the Constitution, then guess what? The Constitution is now broken. Your contract or whatever with the Constitution, what are, you cannot have the Constitution protect you because it's ran on a law that was infiltrated by foreign agents that hijacked the country many years ago, okay? And that's why it's necessary for you to become a foreign agent, and by doing that is to create a trust, a silver bullet trust that is foreign, and putting everything in it, which is your family, your businesses, your house, your, you know, cars, things that you own, your assets, and put a lot of power into that because they have already created trust in your name and they're benefiting off of those trusts. They're also taking a bunch of money out of that too, you know, through your birth certificate bond, all of that stuff. So I've taught my students for many years to take back their power, become secure creditors where they're no longer U.S. citizens or meaning federal employees of their corporation. Of course, you're an American. You're always, you were born there. You're always American, sure, American indigenous. And then you create a foreign trust to protect everything. And if you want to run your business through it, it's tax-free as well, tax-exempt. And you can actually sue these other agents utilizing this silver bullet foreign trust as well, okay? And that's what I did with the child support. I put a stop to that. And they got scared because they realized that the IRS was on my side, not on their side, because the IRS, when you become a secure creditor and a foreign agent, the IRS becomes your bookkeeper. And they totally protected me. That's more powerful than my ex-husband's little Freemason group, parent family. I had the IRS on my side, okay? That's pretty freaking powerful, and that's a foreign agent of their own. And you know what? Who knows? You know, once you have it, it all goes back to learning about this, these principles of being a secure creditor and understanding what it is. And if you're interested in that, like I said, I recommend go read my book on Amazon.com, and you're going to learn a lot of information. That is definitely worth it, definitely worth your time, and it's really going to save your life. It really is. But anyways, I'm going to wrap this up early. I know we were going to go 3 hours, but not tonight due to the fact there's just so many things going on tonight. We got to get prepared and ready for tomorrow, something happening, an event. But anyways, I hope you were able to take some powerful information. You're able to take something from this episode to learn, to help you to educate you of what these groups are, these very powerful groups, what they're probably worshiping, and how you can actually learn to not get caught up in that reality, get caught up in that world, you know? Because I'll tell you, whether you believe in magic or not, they believe in it 100%. They believe in it more than you'll ever believe in it because they practice it all the time. And they do a lot of gruesome practices. They do a lot of heinous things. And as you've seen what happened in the Epstein Island, they did some serious nasty things with people, and all these amazing celebrities, including Donald Trump, Elon Musk. I mean, you know, very powerful people were there, and it was all for that purpose. They're all, it's really sad, but they're all part of it. They're all part of it. Even your most favorite celebrities that you would think that are not, they are, because why are they so big on camera? Because they ended up sacrificing something or someone that they loved very much. Or maybe they didn't love them that much. Maybe it was easier. I don't know. But, you know, that's the whole point to fame, to their fame. And I believe that sacrifice was going to Moloch, the owl, because that owl or that statue was to bring them wealth and fame and all that other crap. But in order to do that, for each human being, celebrity that wants fame and fortune, they have to go through that process. And that's why all these celebrities are absolutely terrorized, and they don't live much longer. They live till they're in their 50s, and then before you know it, they accidentally die. Okay. Pretty gruesome stories, guys. Pretty gruesome stories. But anyways, check out my website, movingbeyondthematrix.com, and then also we just launched our church or temple called RavenMoonShadowTemple.com if you'd like to check that out. And it's based about, it's a Luciferian temple, and we actually share with you who Lucifer truly is. It has nothing to do with the Bible. He was actually a Greek god way back that represents light, enlightenment, and knowledge to combat ignorance, which is very important, because the more knowledge that you have, the more power that you have as well. You can combat this ignorance and the fear that these elite families are projecting onto the people. And really, you don't have to believe in Lucifer. You don't have to believe in any of the deities. It's for atheists and theists alike. The whole concept is he is represented as a symbol for people to break free. He is the adversary. He is the adversary against the these Abrahamic religions that were used to program people into submission, to turn them into slaves. And it's to break free from all of that, break free from mind control. And it's also to be better human beings, to be a better version of yourself. You know, a person with compassion, a person with a peace of mind, you know, that strives for their goals in life, that wants to better themselves in their lives. You know, just utilizing magical practices, utilizing certain meditation, guided meditation, if you will. That's what it's all about in this temple. And I invite you to check it out. And don't worry, we won't sacrifice anybody. That's not what we're about. We're anti that. We are animal lovers and we're pagans. You know, that's really what we are. We're pagan people. We love animals. We love the earth. We love Gaia. We love the trees. We love the Mother Nature, and are here to help protect its inhabitants from this tyranny or takeover by these really nasty beings that came from somewhere else, I believe, anyway. All right, guys. Take care. Much love, light, and darkness. Until next time, I'll see you on Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Bye for now.